Ramble.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of You Can Sit With Us. I am back from vacation, and I am Maggie.
Hey, for those of you who are listening.
That's such a funny way to say it.
I am back from vacation.
They're like, wait, who's listening? Who's talking? It's me, Maggie.
And I'm
looking
joined.
So tan.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much.
The most.
Margaret coming in hot today.
Almost got it.
Between vacation plus Bowie swim camp plus 4th of July. I was in the pool. Mm-hmm. I have gotten fairly tan, which I'm very happy about. But
you look like summer itself.
The embodiment of summer.
Oh my gosh.
You've got your, Maggie has her glasses on her.
I love it.
I will come into places at like 8 p.m. and someone will be like, why do you still have your sunglasses on your shirt? I'm like, you never know.
I've always got them up on my head.
Yeah.
Because like they hold my hair back too.
Yeah.
You know? And so then I just forget. And then when I take them off and I throw them in my bag, then they like inevitably get ruined. So
yeah.
They're safe on my head.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I like to use them like as part of my outfit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
When you look too plain, you're like, just put the sunglasses here, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if you're not using them.
So cute. So were cute. You so pleased when Matt brought that goodie bag of stuff from his house that you and I had left there?
Oh my gosh.
Those were
goodie
your like,
bag.
Yeah.
We left a bunch of stuff at
Matt's house. And I had left like my favorite water bottle. I know that's ridiculous to say. I have a favorite water bottle. I had left my favorite water bottle and something else, like a shoe or something. I don't know.
A single shoe?
And Ariel was holding my sunglasses
Ariel,
in there.
How drunk were you at this party?
I wasn't drunk. I think I had a change of shoes or something. I can't imagine why. It also had Maggie's sunglasses in it because Matt thought those were mine.
I think you were holding them at one point. We went somewhere and I was like, can you hold these for me? And you did because I don't carry a purse on me usually.
Yes, and I carry a very large purse.
Yes, 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 yes.
It's full of things that I don't need, but also things that I feel like someday I probably will need.
You never know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No. I have a tape measure in my bag, everybody.
Wow.
That's the mark of a real interior designer.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Ready to take measurements.
Do you have a flexible one for clothing?
No.
I always have a hard time when I'm buying things online and it's like, sizing is so different to like when it comes to different brands.
Do you actually measure yourself when they do the sizing
for
thing?
Pants,
they say like 38
like
inches. Or
you're
something.
So
I feel like,
good.
I feel I like pants, especially, you have to.
I consider buying clothes online a temporary price point for trying them on because if it they don't fit. Mm-hmm. They don't fit. I hate shopping online.
I do too.
Nothing fits.
I send back like 50% of the things that I order.
I have a couple brands that I can get pants from and then I've done like the exact measurements from other places and they'll show up and I'm like, ugh, these do not fit.
I feel like I order things and then I create work for myself where I'm like, before work this morning, I have to package up these boxes and go by FedEx, UPS, and the post office to drop all this stuff. And I'm like, why did I buy anything? Why did I give myself all this homework to do?
You should just go to one of those box places. They have all of those things.
Oh
yeah.
Oh.
So there's a Box Brothers.
Yeah.
And the place is awesome. They're so nice in there and they have all the things and the UPS guy, the mailman and the FedEx guy come and
go
pack
there.
Up.
That's really smart. That's a great life hack.
They're great. Yeah.
Do they sell like moving supplies as well?
And they sell boxes.
Oh,
that's why they're called Box Brothers and they ship. So if you don't have a label, then they'll be like, okay, well, you know, when do you want it to get there? And then they'll give you the cheapest option between all of the shipping companies.
We gotta ask her, because Ariel buys her fair amount of furniture.
Buy furniture. I ship a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I return a lot of stuff.
Okay, where do you buy your pants? That was the upcoming question.
Either Aritzia.
Mm.
Oh, I
because they have a lot of different
They
denim.
Have one at the Americana.
Yeah.
Can we go in person?
Someday? Because that cute like crop top, kind of like the one that Maggie's wearing. So the one that that the stylist brought to our photo shoot, that was from Aritzia. And I was like, I need this.
We go?
Yeah, I
think like to really an actual fun. Store in person?
Maggie can show us around.
Maggie can show us what's cool. Maggie, help us stay young forever.
I've been dying to go to another flea market. We should do that.
I would love to do that.
Mm-hmm. Especially now that you've got the new place.
But that's not for pants. That's for like...
They do have like Well, I've bought shorts from
Maggie, like, can shop.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's flea markets are good for like vintage dresses and muumuus or furniture.
Yeah. Or pants are kind of harder to get into because you can throw a muumuu over your current outfit and try it on.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You can't. I mean, you can.
You can't. I've gotten a good pair of shorts that I've cut.
Oh, like vintage, like Levi's or Wranglers kind of or something? Kind
of like the Bermuda look.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay.
Maggie. All right. Okay, so tell
You're
us.
So fashionable.
How was your vacay? And did you eat a lot of churros?
I wish. I did not eat as many churros as I thought I was going to eat because I love churros, but it was a lot of fun.
That's so good.
And then Zach's sister was also there, so we got to visit her at her fancy resort. There?
I saw that on Instagram.
She, one of her friends has a membership to like a very exclusive place.
Oh, wait, Zach told me about this. Do you want to name the celebos that you saw there?
I didn't get to see them. I missed them by a couple days, but Zach's sister was staying at a resort with Zach's idol, Larry David. And Larry David has a Bowie. I was like, they are spitting images
when
of
Zach
each other.
When Zach heard this, he basically vibrated straight into her office. And he was like, guess who Steffi saw?
Yeah. And
who could this be? Vin Diesel?
Yeah, Vin Diesel?
Could it be Vin Diesel? That's an excellent, excellent guess. Mm-hmm. Seriously. Mm-hmm. We need Maggie to take us shopping because of an idea that Rachel and I have.
Mm. Oh, no. Don't tell everyone. Then we're going to have to do it.
We're going to do it, Rachel. That's the whole point, is that we're scared of it.
What?
Okay. Rachel and I had this idea when we were on vacation. Did somebody else come up with it? I think it was us.
I think it was us / Ned.
Yeah, us / Ned, which I take responsibility for Ned's ideas all the time. That's just me.
We were talking about how it's really, really hard for me, especially maybe in this grouping, but in all of us, to not just post photos of our kids on Instagram.
I mean, I get it.
They're so cute.
The
world needs to see.
Yes. We don't take pictures of ourselves.
Yes. I don't.
So
I don't get in the photos.
Yeah. So Rachel and I are going to find somebody to teach us how to take thirst trap photos.
Oh, wow.
And
I feel like you could get on like YouTube or TikTok for that. Be like, how to post hot. There's definitely a video that exists.
I mean, I think Kaylin could help us.
I think Kaylin could
help us. Have you seen her feed?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. I mean, and then for an entire week, we will not post photos of our children.
You're just going to post thirst traps.
And we will only post photos of ourselves.
I'm here for it.
You're totally here for it, right? Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing at all, but I would love to be there while you do this.
Come, Maggie, come. Yeah, like, maybe you can help us buy new clothes for our thirst trap photos. Let's go to the sweater tank top ain't going to cut it.
Oh, my gosh.
My little tie tank top.
Guys don't give yourself enough credit.
Mm-mm. Well, we're going to try to. We're going to post thirst traps. Everyone who follows me on Instagram is going to be so confused.
I know. Me too.
They're going to be like, wait. I thought I was going to... like a wholesome family account, and now there are thirst trap photos.
I'm here for it.
I'm really excited. I'm excited. I'm not scared. I'm not scared exactly.
But are you gonna like rent out those places that all the influencers do and like do an entire photo shoot and they bring?
No, I hadn't thought of
outfits.
That. But yes,
you should do that.
Okay,
because I'm pretty sure
there's like an Airbnb.
Kaylin,
for
correct us if you're wrong. You can just tell me, but I'm pretty sure. Like anytime she goes to like a cool Airbnb or like on vacation somewhere, she does multiple outfit changes in a single location, even if she's not there for a super long time.
Yeah.
Because she's getting that content.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what all the profesh people do.
Yeah.
Well, we're amateurs, but let's do it.
Well, should we transition? Maggie has some.
I have a story for you.
Oh, yeah. Tell us.
I've been wanting to tell my story for the weekend. So,
yes. Okay.
I've told you guys that the first time I met Zach's family, or his mom and dad and his sister, I was on a boat and I vomited the entire time.
Yes, you do remember this.
So this weekend, I had the pleasure of meeting Zach's aunt from the East Coast. She was flying in from Philly, I believe.
This mom's sister?
Mom's sister, yes. And his cousin, so her daughter. And then Zach's two grandmas came over.
Oh.
So we just moved in to a new house a couple months ago, and we have been wanting to invite and like host people, but we're still like not there yet. Anyway.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay. They were coming from out of town, so we're like, we would love to host you. We'll have some pizza, because we're not the best hosts, like both of you.
Oh, shush.
Ariel makes like the cutest like breakfast spreads.
Oh, stop.
Rachel, you make the cutest charcuterie boards. Yeah. But anyway, we're keeping it casual. We don't have a lot of like entertainment wear. So we had them, we invited them over for the day. So Zach and I went to the farmer's market. We got all the supplies to make a salad. Mm-hmm. It was all lovely. We order a pizza. Zach's grandmother's like always super punctual and like will yell at and berate Zach anytime he's like 5 minutes late. So we wanted to make sure we had everything ready. I ordered the pizza like the day ahead to arrive right when she was coming.
Oh my God.
She texts us. She's like, oh my gosh, I'm running late. This has never happened. I was like, oh no.
Did she say this has never happened?
No, we're just, Zach and I are like, oh wow, I hope everything's okay because this has never happened before. And I was like, oh no, we have to keep the pizzas warm. So,
oh no,
I go into
grandma and 2 p.m. pizza.
Yeah,
it cannot be room temp.
Cannot be room temp. I mean, she's a New Yorker, so I'm sure she'll eat pizza at whatever temperature. But in my mind, I was like, this has to be perfect. This is the first time I'm meeting his aunt and his cousin. Like, and it's gonna be great.
People are coming to your new house, there's like a little bit of pressure.
Yeah, for sure. So, I went into the kitchen and we had done this a couple weeks ago for my sister's graduation thing. I put the setting on bake in the oven and we had three boxes. Uh-huh. So I put them on three different levels.
Put the boxes in the oven?
Yeah, we did it like a couple weeks ago.
I put the boxes in the oven.
Yeah, I put the box in the oven on the lowest setting. It was fine. It happened a couple weeks ago and everything was totally fine. So I was like, okay, Zach, I'm going to do it again. So I put it on low. Uh-huh. So Zach goes to work.
What's he's low? Like 170?
Like the lowest possible. I think it's just like 150 to 200, okay. Something. The lowest okay. that, the lowest option on the meter. I forget what it was. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Oh my God, what happened, Meg?
So Zach goes into his office to write some emails. And then I just am in the bathroom just touching up my makeup. And then it's been 30 minutes. And so I pop out and I'm about to take Bowie out to pee. And all of a sudden, I smell burning. And I go, Zach, what's that smell? And we run into the kitchen, and our kitchen is just covered in like fog, smoke.
No.
I start panicking. I run out. This just shows like Zach like steps up to the plate, and I run into the living room because I have Bowie. I was like, there's a fire extinguisher under the sink. Bye. So Zach turns the oven light on, and there is a pizza on the top rack, just with an entire crater in the middle of it. And it's just disintegrating around the boxes. And oh there was, it was just like ember.
Uh-huh.
But as soon as Zach opened the oven, it was exposed to oxygen and just burst into flames.
Oh my God.
So Zach's screaming.
Zach is screaming.
Zach is screaming. Zach is screaming. I'm going around the house finding every air purifier I own, every fan I own. I'm opening all the windows.
I'm gonna purify this in space.
Yes. Well, so did he spray it with a
luckily
fire extinguisher?
He ran.
Do that if you can get away with it.
Yes,
the mess
is not worth it.
Ran outside of the house with like the biggest oven mitts I've ever seen, like the barbecue grill ones up to his elbows, and he's just on the driveway just like throwing the oven mitt at the pizza box, and the pizza box eventually, it's no longer a pizza box, it's just the pizza in the middle.
it just keeps
lighting on fire, and like Zach keeps to keep hitting it.
Oh my god,
it was such a mess. And as this is happening, Zach's aunt and his cousin pull up. I wanted to die.
And Zach, you were like, I quit life. Yeah, it's over.
I know.
Nice to meet you.
I'm done.
Goodbye.
I am done.
It's so nice to me. And it smells so bad. It smells so bad in my kitchen still. Yeah. Still.
And you probably had the house like as clean as it's ever been.
And it's just
everything
like murky
perfectly
in there. Also, another added stress is Zach's grandmother has lung issues. So I was like, she's going to flip out. And it is 89 degrees outside because
like,
it's the middle of the summer.
You can't go outside. You can't like open the doors or anything. Oh,
luckily, the way where the kitchen is, it's like behind like the fireplace area, so it is sectioned off. It's not like an open concept where all the smoke just was like were able to sit inside, but all we had pre-cooled the house down in the morning and like shut all the doors to make sure it was nice and air conditioned for our guests.
Did so much.
And it's, open it's like you wanted it too badly and the universe was like, no,
nope.
Mags.
No,
nope. No,
fuck
no.
This. Fuck. You do not get this perfect, this perfect day.
Picture perfect.
Oh,
life.
Maggie,
no.
that is so, it's so sad, but it's also
so painful.
Painfully funny.
I felt like we bonded because of it.
You did.
We just kept laughing.
They probably love you even more because you're a real human who set her pizza box on fire.
That is so funny. Was the pizza still good?
No, luckily
can't
not.
Eat it. It's like
I don't know. I mean, maybe the other ones were still good.
Yeah,
there are two of the pizzas.
There's like a door to the side of our house that's just complete. Well, it's like the wooden around and then the glass in the middle. Mm-hmm. And Bowie was just sitting there the entire time guests were over and was just staring at the pizza because the pizza was still like intact. There was like ash probably all over it, but the box is what burnt all the way. And Zach was like, "You could maybe eat this," and I was like,
"No,
you're not supposed to eat
burnt." Burnt particles of cardboard or whatever.
Okay, I'm just going to call it. To everybody listening, don't put your pizza boxes in the oven.
I feel like different ovens run hotter or colder, and definitely never put it on the top.
Never put it on the top. Next to the element.
Boiler. Yes.
Yeah.
Because I think it just got too... Because I think if I would put it one lower, maybe not had three pizzas.
And make sure it's like actually 170.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No,
so,
I'm not risking it.
Do you take your whole pizza out and put it?
100%.
Mine didn't have
I
should. Oh, I don't think I have a pan big enough for. But I thought about, I was like, maybe I can just take it off because usually some of the pizzas come with a cardboard cutout underneath and you just like put it onto the directly onto the oven rack. Yeah. But it didn't. And it was like a bigger pizza. So I was like, this is going to make a mess. So I should have done that.
Whoopsie.
There were barriers.
I still have both my sister and I still have nightmares of the time that my mom made nachos, and so she would always use the broiler function, and she would leave the oven door just like ajar while she was melting the cheese on the nachos.
A jar,
and there was one time when the nachos, you know, you guys have met my mom, she was probably off doing something else, and the nachos burned, and then lit on fire.
Oh no.
And
the broiler's a real risky.
The
game.
Broiler is very risky, especially if you leave it open.
Yeah.
You know, because the oxygen's getting in there.
Yeah.
And I think I was like 13 at the time or something like that. So my sister would have been 10.
Mm-hmm.
And so the oven is on fire. Like flames coming out. And none of us know what to do. My dad wasn't home. And so we open it up all the way. The fire just gets bigger. Oh, so now, gosh, there's flames just like licking the side. And so we get our enormous fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
And my mom goes, call the fire department. And she takes the thing and just goes,
and you gotta sometimes.
And like it was cartoonish. The way that things that thing sprays. Uh-huh. It's like you're trying to get it into the oven, but it sprays the entire kitchen.
Wow.
It the is entire kitchen.
A nightmare.
With that white stuff.
Really?
Oh my goodness.
I mean, if you gotta use it, you gotta use it.
Yeah. Yeah. But so the fire department shows up and it's like two guys come in. We've got it under control at that point. We sprayed the entire kitchen with the fire extinguisher. And the guys walk in. We were living in Texas. And, you know, these two guys walk in. And one of them's got a very deep Southern accent. And he's looking around, sort of judging us for the mess.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, well, why didn't you just close the door? Like to the oven.
It was on fire, sir. You got to get this. I don't know. I think I panicked in the moment. There were like, other two pizzas, you know?
Right?
And yeah. You like have to get the thing out.
I had to save the nachos.
So those of you listening, if there's ever something on fire in the oven, just close the door. Just close the door.
And or just keep it closed
off, and then turn it off.
And then monitor it.
And then wait.
Yeah. Ovens are made for that.
Mm-hmm. Ovens are made for fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm so sorry, Maggie.
I'm so glad I didn't burn my first home down.
I'm so glad too.
It was just a pizza. You're fine. Also, we looked around. There is no smoke detector in our kitchen. It's only
that is something I was going to ask. How did it get so bad?
There is none. There's one in the living room. And when we first moved in, the batteries were dying. So Zach took it off and we haven't gotten new batteries yet.
Oh, you got to put
it back. We're geniuses.
That's the issue.
I know. We called my sister and she always calls both of us her two liabilities because she's like, I can't believe you guys are adults. Like both of you together.
Oh my God. I was going to say in a new house too, like when you got your inspection, I'm sure that they went around and they were like, okay, you have all the proper fire things. Mm-hmm.
Blah, 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 the amount of times. Zach at our old office left a tea kettle burning into oblivion on the
stove.
Luckily,
we have the electric one now. It just shuts off.
Too many to count.
I know.
And the amount of times he left a candle burning in the bathroom.
He's lit a candle?
Yeah. You know, we had one.
You poop.
We had one bathroom at the old office, and all the boys were really on that window candle game. They were looking out for others.
Like Zach is not one to just randomly let it. Gotcha.
Yeah, you know
he's burning sage after after he poops.
You guys don't have to poopery.
Listen, you saw that bathroom. I don't know. The boys had a system. I would find the window open, the candle on. But once in very early days, the only people working were Keith, Zach, and I. And I came to the office, and I think this was the first time I texted them in all caps, yelling. Okay. And there was a very empty, very burnt kettle on the stove with a low flame.
Oh, there was
a burning candle in the bathroom, and the back door was fully open. And I was like, we cannot run a business like this.
Oh my God.
I texted them in all caps. I was like, you can't, guys, you can't. And I think Zach was like, yeah, my bad.
Yeah, my bad.
Okay. Nothing burned down. Luckily, there were two sources of flames all night and no one stole all the hard drives.
All night?
Yeah, I arrived the next morning. They had been like, in the early days, the boys edited the videos and I think they'd been there till like midnight editing or whatever and they just walked away.
Oh my gosh.
I'm coming in at 9 a.m. and I was like, this will not stand.
No kettles on the stove.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got an electric one shortly after that.
That's good. Do you guys ever panic that you leave like a hair straightener on?
Yes, every time. Mm-hmm. So I have to unplug it, wrap it up, and put it in this little hanging bag I have because if I leave it on the counter and I don't have the muscle memory of putting it away, I'm like, oh, it's probably on. The babies are going to pull it down. They're going to burn their faces off.
A lot of them now have the mechanism, if it's been on for an hour, it'll shut off, but
that's good. But it's still hot.
Back in college, I had a smart plug because I would constantly just leave it on and I'd be like,
I would go back to the smart plug and turn off the plug. And you would go,
that's genius, actually.
That's smart.
But by really that smart. Point, if I'm like 20 minutes into a lecture, my apartment could be on fire. Who knows?
Yeah, I know.
Really, really smart.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a hack.
Mm-hmm.
That's really
a great life hack.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mags, do you have a medical
myths with Maggie for us today? Yeah,
I have. It's not a myth per se, but it is a health lesson that you never will learn in health class.
Ooh.
So here we go.
Tell us.
I love this.
Here we go. Do you guys, are you text toilet people?
Oh, I will fully sit on the toilet and like read all my emails.
Ariel.
I'm like going through the entire New York Times. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. If,
like that's the only time that I have a minute to myself. And oh my God. You know, I could find myself 15 minutes later and I'm looking at like seriously strangers on Instagram reels.
Or TikTok. Get on TikTok.
Ariel loves reels.
I do.
She loves TikToks on Instagram.
Join the ding dang TikTok.
Yes. What about you, Rachel?
Well, my situation currently is this. Ooh, huh. I feel a rumbly feeling in my tummy. I think I might have to use the potty. Do you guys want to come with me?
Oh,
I do have to use the potty. Okay, now we wipe, now we flush, now we wash our hands. So, no,
it's not very quick currently. Kick with it. That's good. That's good. Mm. Ariel, did you know that you could get hemorrhoids, which are inflamed veins, from sitting on the toilet and texting for extended periods of time? There's a lot of things that can predispose you. Pregnancy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah,
you could have in
pregnancy
For sure.
Internal hemorrhoids, which aren't usually something that's felt. External hemorrhoids can get itchy; they can bleed. So can the internal ones.
Yeah, in pregnancy, they happen because you are carrying so much weight that it puts so much pressure on those veins. Right?
Yeah.
Holy moly!
I've been there, done that.
The reason I bring it up is because I actually have a friend who had like this is very rare. I'm going to preface: I don't want to fearmonger people, but.
Put the fear into us for behaving better, though.
He's fine now, but...
Is it Zach?
No, it's not. It's one of my friends. It's one of my really close friends from college. He weightlifts.
Okay.
But he ended up getting something called a rectal prolapse.
I know what this is.
Wait, so tell me what this is.
Do not Google it. It's when your colon spills out of your butthole.
What?
Yes. And it's very rare. It's like 2 out of 100,000 people get it. And it's usually because.
Weightlifting.
Weightlifting, pregnancy, GI issues.
Yes. Huge poops. Women can also have this happen with organs out of their vagina if they don't have good pre and postnatal care.
Mm.
I have a friend whose job
prolapse
it is
usually
to surgically fix keeping
your uterus up.
Yeah.
It can happen with your bladder. It can happen with your uterus. It can happen with your butthole.
Oh, my goodness.
Or your colon, I mean, okay. For that reason. Okay. What I'm saying is don't text and be on the toilet. I'm not saying that you're...
Because you're sitting there for too long.
Yeah. You're sitting there for too long.
Okay.
And it's putting undue stress on your vein.
Your tushy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So should I get off the pot?
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Don't do your... Just go sit on your couch.
Just go listeners. Take your time somewhere else.
Yeah. Like predominantly women, but I feel like boys take forever in the bathroom. Boys are like gone for like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
You're like, what are you doing?
They're texting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're texting on the pooper.
Mm-hmm. Some people take longer than others, but if you do, maybe talk to somebody.
Interesting.
Because, yeah, you can get hemorrhoids for like chronic constipation.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
No, I'm fast. I'm like, did she pee or did she poop? I'll never know.
No. Yeah. I'm not fast.
Yeah.
But maybe I could be.
You can really do it.
We'll work on speed.
It's really, you know, I feel like it's a wasted poo if I don't have my phone with me.
Yeah. Why don't you go?
Oh, because your time is
Your time is precious. So valuable. Why don't you
I have an idea for you.
Okay.
And sit on the toilet seat and that's still your quiet time.
What if it's a catalog, not your phone? Because you love them.
I do love them.
You need to read them.
Catalogs are long. Have you seen some of these?
She doesn't have to finish it.
I'm a speed cataloger.
Mm. And the thing about a catalog is I feel like you can stop when you want to, but with a phone, It's so easy to just go down a rabbit hole. My thumb just hits the Instagram app to scroll without my making a conscious decision. Mm. Isn't that so messed up?
It's really interesting. You should move it. You should move the app.
I have. I've moved it to the last page.
So you have to go all the way to the end. How many pages do you have?
Just three. I'm very concise and organized on my phone.
Oh, I deleted it off the homepage. I have to actually type it into the search now.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. You and Zach have very healthy,
I don't know if we do. We're trying, but I don't know if we do. Zach's addicted to Twitter.
Really?
Yeah. He doesn't care about Instagram, but I constantly see him scrolling and like, no more! No more!
No more doom scrolling.
No more doom scrolling, yeah. And I feel like on TikTok, I'm learning, depending on what's on your feed.
Sometimes I'm learning and sometimes I'm
doom scrolling, for sure.
Yeah. Do I need more... to eat more macros, exercise with HIIT, did clean my house better. Whoa. I don't know. It's just telling me all these things.
Clean your house better. Once Becky told me that she was into the folding TikTok, I was hooked. I was like, okay, maybe this is something I need to get into.
Yeah.
And I still haven't crossed over to TikTok yet, but I am 100% into Reels, and I'm pretty sure that's just Reels? Reposts from TikTok.
Okay, it is, but Reels doesn't have an algorithm that's tailoring it to you the way TikTok does. Mm-hmm. TikTok's algorithm is better, mm-hmm. so you're going to find more of what you want by liking or rewatching something that you really like. It's going to learn about you much faster. There's this very cute young gay gardener in Tennessee who bought this huge plot of land and is learning how to garden it and grow stuff. And he's the only person I follow. That's and cute. I love him. I love him so much. He'll be like, this morning in the garden, my zucchini flowers need a little pollinating, but I like to ask for consent before. Can I pollinate you? Oh, yes. Here you go. Boop, boop, boop. Can I pollinate you? Oh, yes. Here you go. Boop, boop, boop. And he pollinates them with a little cute. He's so cute.
That is so cute.
It's really cute.
Can I pollinate you?
Can I pollinate boop, boop, boop.
Excuse me, ma'am. May I pollinate you? Okay. Do, do, do. He's really cute. Anyways, he's my one TikTok follow. Mm. So you could be really selective. Otherwise, I just lurk, you know.
Sometimes I like going on Pinterest. I know I used to go on Pinterest a lot in college, actually. It's just the one social media app where you're just minding your own damn business, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just saving the images.
Saving pretty
things.
You
should do it for your wedding. Just save images. I gave our florist a Pinterest board, basically. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't all floral arrangements. Some of it was fabrics or whatever. It was your and Maggie and I's Instagram DMs, which are just beautiful things on Instagram.
That's basically,
that we send each other. But that's what it looked like. And they did my flowers based off of that, off those vibes.
Ooh.
I love that.
Do you read the comments, Maggie?
Sometimes I've read the first couple ones because I feel like after a certain point, if I see a mean comment, then I just have a really bad day. So I'll look at the popular ones and then I'll tell myself the rest of the comment thread is for the audience to talk amongst themselves because gives me too much anxiety.
It's too much anxiety.
I'm 100% with
you. Yeah, I'll read the top ones.
I read the top five and then I'm like,
mm-hmm. How does that work? Do
you can do it by newest first or just let it do its natural thing, which top comments have the most interaction or likes or comments under them, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So I suggest you never do by newest first. Mm-hmm. Never.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever. Speaking of comments, I have seen some comments on our YouTube videos asking, who is Rainey?
Oh, yeah.
Our podcast intern.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we thought we would bring her on so she can say hello.
Yes. Come on through.
This ray of sunshine that lives behind Miles.
That's where she lives.
Yes. Surprise, it's Rainey.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Normally, Rainey is off camera, but she's listening to everything we say.
Mm-hmm. And editing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know I get a lot of crossover details. Keith was talking about hard water on his skin and making it itchy, and then Becky was talking about it, and I was like, I already know about that.
That is so funny. I bet the guys talk about the same thing that we do.
Yes.
And
Keith likes to say, because we have very different audiences, but we do not, and so people are getting the same stories twice.
Absolutely.
But from two different perspectives.
True. Which makes it really funny. Which makes it really, really funny. I remember one time when we were chatting with Sarah, who's Miles's fiance, and she was talking about all the things that Miles learned from Baby Steps. Therapy things.
Oh my God.
That's good.
I'm a little nervous to have kids now. After Baby Steps,
Annie can sit with us. That's the opposite of what we want. Well, everybody, Rainey is our podcast intern. You've been editing a lot of the podcasts. You've been here working in the office for the last however many weeks.
Yeah.
But I don't know that much about you. I don't know what's your story. I know that you moved here from Colorado.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right?
Tell us a little bit about that. When you graduated from college, what's the scoop?
Yes. Okay. Well, I want to ask you guys about this too, because I just came out of this little existential crisis. This job has helped me a lot. But I feel 23, 24 is tough. Did you guys feel like that?
This is your quarter life crisis.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm a little bit out of it now, but I was going through the advice that goes for Miles voicemails, and everybody is like, Miles, tell me what to do with my life. Miles, what should I do? When you graduated college, how did you decide what to do? And did you guys have an intermediary job of between college and what you guys are doing now?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Oh, yeah. I've had multiple careers. Mm-hmm. This is not what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. You were a nanny first when you first graduated?
When I first graduated college, I was actually acting in New York. And
what?
I was, yeah.
What? I didn't know that.
I was doing theater in New York. And I did a couple of shows over the summer season.
What shows
were you in?
A long washed up former beauty queen.
What's a beauty queen? Always a beauty queen.
I was doing plays in New York.
Oh my God.
And I did two of them. And I was like, oh, I have to get an agent now. I don't want to do that. That's not in the cards for me. So then I nannied for a couple years. And that was sort of an intermediate job for me. For me, it was obviously not what I was going to do with my whole life, but I had always worked with kids and I was good with kids. So it felt like a comfortable way to live in a new place.
And were you anxious about doing something you knew wasn't the long term?
No.
No?
Oh man. No. I don't know. Maybe I just didn't have as much pressure on me in my life, but I had flirted with, I had gotten into Teach for America and decided to, and also got cast in this summer season at the Atlantic Theater and had decided to go do theater instead.
Yeah.
And so when I decided to nanny after that, I was kind of I think I'll go back to teaching at some point. And I did. 2 years later, I started teaching. Hmm. And I sort of thought that would be my job. And maybe I didn't worry about wasted time, although I would 1000% say it was not wasted time at all.
Yeah,
it was a really perfect fit. Yeah. But because teaching doesn't have such an intense ladder to climb. It felt really good.
Yeah.
I was making more money being a nanny than my boyfriend at the time, who was working a project manager job for a big construction and design architecture company.
Yeah.
And all my friends thought that was insane.
Yeah.
Because I was working money. 4 days a week and bringing home straight cold hard cash.
Yes.
What did you learn from being a nanny? Because I have a friend who was a nanny for a year and she has a bunch of stories.
Well, I mean, the family I worked with are still my very best friends to this day. And their son is my daughter's godfather. He's 15 now.
I got chills. I literally got chills.
I love them so much. But for me, I had just moved to New York. All I had done was these theater shows, which took up all my time. I didn't know the city at all. And what I got to do is take this 2-year-old boy and run around and learn about New York. We were out and about every day. It was so fun for me to have a partner to explore a new city with, even though he was 2. And we had the best time.
Seeing New York through a 2-year-old's eye. That sounds so cute.
We went out to lunch every day. We went to the park. We went to shows. We went and rode the ferry for fun. We would just go and do things. And he wasn't in preschool at the time. And so we just had all the freedom in the world. Mm-hmm. It was a really great job at that time in my life.
Yeah.
It was very freeing.
And then Maggie, what did you do between nursing school and college?
I worked all the way. I was really nervous about the job market when I graduated nursing school, just because there is a nursing shortage in the US, but in specifically like big like cities, that isn't the case. Like LA, I know there was like limited jobs. And I wanted to do pediatrics, which is even more selective.
So competitive.
So competitive. So I actually worked two jobs. My junior and senior year of nursing school, just so I could kind of force my foot in the door that way.
So did you go straight into nursing school?
I did.
So you always, you knew, you were like, this is...
I actually, in high school, I was going back and forth between doing business or fashion or nursing. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So I actually, my dad sat me down and he was like, what do you want to do in business? And I was like, I don't know. I was like 14, 15, 16. No, I don't know.
I don't know.
And he was like, I was always very patient with my grandmother and like I loved doing service work and like volunteering. So he was like, I see that side of you. Like, I definitely think that you should. So he kind of guided me there.
Yeah. Sometimes parents know. My parents also had like a bunch of, I think they know the world better and they know you well. So it's kind of helpful.
The thing I kind of grappled with a lot is I think like I don't get to be as creative as I wanted to be. And I think that pediatrics has kind of helped with that. Like choosing your path in within your specialties kind of helped. But yeah, I ended up interviewing my senior year and I went straight into being a nurse.
What jobs did you have?
I was basically like a nurse assistant or like an ER tech. That's kind of like the jobs that
were
I
you
did.
A CNA?
Yeah, basically.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. My best friends from high school they're identical twins and they're both nurses now, but they were CNAs in nursing school.
Oh, they have the same job.
They have the same job too.
That's crazy.
Same specialty?
No,
very similar in personality.
My sophomore year of high school, we had this morning assembly and they look exactly the same. And I was good friends with them at the time, but I could not tell them apart. Like, so I would look at them, be like, all right, Maria's wearing this. Cause I knew where they stood in the assembly. Maria's wearing this today. Alondra's wearing this.
Oh.
And then I memorize it. And
you memorize their outfits to know who is who.
And now I can tell them apart, but it's not based on their look. It's based on like how they act. Oh, you know, they look exactly the same.
Do you think their parents mix them up as babies?
I kind of do. Okay, but here's
all
the crazy,
take
crazy
is calling one by the other name and the other parent agreeing, and then all of a sudden they swap their names.
That's it.
And they're different, and there's no way to know.
Yeah. Well, in school, sometimes people would be like Maria and tell Maria a whole thing, and then she'd be like, I'm Alondra. And then she'd go tell Maria what the person said because like they just didn't know.
There was twins at my high school that one of them really liked math and science and the other one really liked English and history. Mm-hmm. So when the other didn't feel like going to lecture on the other, they would swap.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, I really wish I had a twin.
I really wish I had an identical twin.
Yeah. Imagine being able to go to art class twice.
Oh man.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. It does sound amazing.
Just spend
the entire
day.
Art, English, and theater all day.
Yes.
Choir. Yes. Never going to science.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the craziest thing about them is Alondra's middle name is Maria. And so sometimes they call Alondra Maria.
Their parents
insane.
Played themselves.
It's crazy.
They played themselves.
I don't know why they did that. Yeah. But they were CNAs and they had the coolest. It was like Grey's Anatomy every time I talked to them.
Really?
It was crazy.
Niles' dream.
Yeah, truly. Yeah.
Who wants their actual life to be like Grey's Anatomy though?
It's so Miles,
it's too much.
Intense.
Too many emotions. Too many.
Miles.
Did you see like, was it gory?
Tell me, it wasn't gory.
Maggie, do PTSD
so
from the ER.
One of the jobs that I had was floating. So I would go to a different unit almost every single time, depending on like the hospital's need. The other one that I had was at a children's hospital specifically, and I was stationed on a floor. Was it gory? I did have a rotation. It was my very last rotation. I was in a pediatric emergency room.
Oof.
And there, depending on where I was stationed with my preceptor, like you could be in trauma or you could be in urgent care or you could just be in the wing that's mostly just like respiratory and asthma exacerbations. But the one story that stuck out to me the most.
I'm scared already.
It's not gory. It's not gory.
I can
gory.
Feel my heart beat increasing.
We did night shifts. And it was the summertime, so it was very warm in LA. And there was a little, I think she must have been 8 years old, came into the ER and we were doing triage. So we basically sit at the front and like call people one by one and decide whether or not they're going to go back or they're going to go to urgent care, they're going to go to the formal ER
yeah.
wing. And so this little girl comes up, and the mom was Spanish speaking, and she explains to me that her daughter was sleeping and woke up just screaming and said that she felt something in her ear.
Oh, it yeah. wasn't a bug, was it?
So the physician that I was with was like, oh, this happens pretty often in the summer when like the cockroaches are more no, dear active.
God. No.
Oh, dear God.
Yes. It was.
Oh, my God, Maggie.
No.
She was asleep and a cockroach just like went in her ear. And it was lodged in there.
That's my greatest fear.
And they were trying to get it out with like a Q-tip, obviously, all the things. God. And it just kept burrowing and burrowing.
That must be so dangerous, too.
Mm-hmm. And they were like trying to put all these, and she just kept feeling it kind of move around, and it was just stuck in there. She comes to the ER. Apparently, this was like the physician that was there was just like, oh, yeah,
her
we're just going
to. Was trying to get it out with a Q-tip?
And like tweezers, all the things.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. She could see it? She could see the cockroach?
No, the little girl was just like, I still hear it. I still feel like the sensation. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't.
Horrible.
I can't.
I'm so sorry. Told this to-
I'm so sorry.
I did a trigger warning on this episode.
I know. I'm so sorry. And so he was like, oh, this happens all the time. So they dropped liquid lidocaine in the ear, and then we just like irrigated it with like a large 60 milliliter syringe and basically like saline, and it came out. And this physician, I was like, are you sure you work in pediatrics? Because he like got all the pieces. It like broke into like three different pieces, and he put it into a little like specimen container, and he shows the little 8-year-old girl. Like, no. This was in your ear. I was like, don't show her. Yeah.
It wasn't like a street. And I don't want to see.
It wasn't a street one, like those very large ones.
Okay.
Yeah. That's
it was funny. Like, I don't know. There's different, like there's the American, there's the German. I don't know. It was a small one.
Okay. So this is one of my greatest fears.
Yeah.
It's like,
bugs in your ear.
Is a bug flying in my ear and then like staying in there.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody told me one time that like you don't have to worry about bugs going into your ears because you would hear them. Like you would be able to, like, don't worry, you don't have a bug in your ear if you can't hear it. You know, it's like,
well, yeah, I think
if you have like an itchy
this.
Ear or something. Yeah. I know. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make myself and everybody else feel
all
better.
All I have to do is hear that story, and all of a sudden, like, my head.
Yeah,
I know it feels good.
It's very, the fact that it was like super easy to get out
yeah.
in the
ER
is great. Yeah, in the ER, but yeah.
I'm sure it's very.
I'm trying to make everybody feel better.
If there is a live cockroach in my ear, I'm dying of an immediate stroke.
I would have been petrified. It's very rare.
I'm too scared.
The boys did that insect video. And remember there when we were growing up, we always heard that you eat like 16 bugs or 6 bugs a year because they just crawl into your mouth. But when they were doing that video, was it Keith or Zach? Someone had their mouth open and was trying to. Was it you, Miles? I think it was Shane. Maybe it was Shane. They were talking about a video that was on YouTube, or they did it themselves, where they had their mouth open and was like trying to get.
Oh, didn't Billie Eilish do that?
Yes. But I think that woman also worked with Watcher, and he was like trying to.
Trying to swallow it?
To like prove. It was almost like Mythbusters, like trying to debunk.
Okay, but how did he not just combust from how awful that is?
And also, the tubes in your ears are too small for like actual bugs to climb into. So, you know, once you irrigate the ear, it will come out. It's not going to crawl into your brain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
I can't. We have to move on.
I was like anyway, very, I had a lot of anxiety about this, and I did a
you
lot
feel
of research
better?
And I feel a lot better about, yeah, yeah. I really had to debunk this myself.
Yes, yes, yes.
When I was like 18 years old, you know, and like, you know, bugs flying around, sleeping on the ground and stuff.
Of course.
The bugs are not going to get into your brain.
Yeah.
I'm just going to.
They're not going to get into your brain, but.
I'm just going to leave it there.
I really don't want to have to go into the ER for the lidocaine and saline. Yeah.
Don't worry. It's not that
not
common.
That
common.
It's Wait, not that
and then,
common.
Ariel, you were in Chicago after.
Yes. When I was like 20, 22, 23. Mm-hmm. I moved to Chicago. I worked for free for a very long time at an art
conservation company.
Is that illegal now? There are no more unpaid internships, right?
It might have been illegal then.
There are very many, and there it is hard to get. They're so hard. They're so competitive.
Messed up.
Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah. Well, so I was unpaid for a very long time, and I was like so thankful to have this job. And I was going to, so I decided that I wanted to be an art conservator. But I hadn't taken any chemistry in college. And so I was going to night school chemistry. I took 2 years of night school. I took two semesters of general chemistry and two semesters of organic chemistry.
I have so many questions. What jobs were you working?
So I was working as a registrar at a private art conservation company.
What is a registrar?
So a registrar in like the museum world, it's somebody who like catalogs the art and makes sure that all the art is stored properly. And, and kind of checks on it every once in a while and makes sure that all of like the like where it is stored is proper. So like paintings are stored upright and, you know.
Yeah. Just got to look at art like a lot.
I just got to look at art
and work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so this art conservation company we specialized in like disaster conservation. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody had a flood or a fire in their house, our team would go in and they would collect all of the art. So I got to go into these like super high-end homes, collect all the art.
What?
And a lot of times,
this is like the Chicago elite,
the Chicago elite, but all over the world, over the world, but mostly all over the country. And so, most of it came from like the Chicagoland area, but a lot of it would come from, you know, if there was like a hurricane, and you know, like people would have like a flood in Miami or something like that. And we'd get all this like crazy pop art and,
having hurricanes in Miami,
super, super high end, like modern art. A lot of times somebody who has high end art, they have a lot of it. And so if there's a disaster and their home gets like, you know, first floor flooding or a fire or something like that, then we would go in and we would just collect all of the art, and they would have these excellent art insurance policies.
So you would fly out.
Job. So, well, we would drive out because we would have to drive it back. And so I worked on a team of like art handlers, and they were all these big burly guys. And then there was me I would go out and I would be like cataloging all of the art. I'd be taking pictures of it. And I'd be like noting all the different areas of like damage and things like that. And then we bring it all back to our facility. Mm-hmm. We had this big warehouse, and the actual art conservators would do their testing on it and all that kind of stuff to see if they could save it or fix it. Mm-hmm. And, and then we'd send our reports to the insurance company, and the insurance company would, you know, and like how much it would cost. And then the insurance company would usually send it to the client and say it would cost this much to fix it, and it would cost this much to replace it.
Whoa.
And so it was usually like 50-50 whether the clients would choose to fix it or whether they would choose to replace it.
Let's say there's a flood, you save some art, it has a little damage. Uh-huh. If they don't fix it, what happens to that piece?
Excellent question. And I don't know if I'm legally allowed to tell you.
No. You kept it, it's in your house.
Some of it, yeah. Yeah,
really?
Because
they were like, let's donate this?
It wasn't so much donate. So we would call it orphaned art. Because the art had been orphaned by its owners, and we had to keep it for a certain period of time,
in case they wanted it back
or something like that. You know, like legally they had given it up, I believe. But we would keep it just in case. Mm. And there was art, you know, this company had been around for a long time. And so there was art that had been around for a very, very long time. And, you know, usually it was art that was so far gone, you know, that like a fire, you couldn't even tell what was on the canvas anymore.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes our conservators would use those as pieces to try out new techniques or things like that, you know? And so sometimes they could actually bring the art back from, you know, from being singed by a fire, and they mm-hmm. would just, you know, kind of use a new chemical or a new technique and fix it. And then we'd hang it in our warehouse mm-hmm. as like, look what we did. Wow. Yeah. But then there was a period of time when we had to, you know, as the registrar who was like cataloging and storing all this art, we had to go through and be like, okay, well, we have too much orphaned art. It's time to get rid of some things, mm-hmm. you know? And so we had a big old dumpster in the back.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it was like, you know, the stuff that was really, really far gone, we just kind of had to toss it in the dumpster.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that the saddest thing you've ever heard? And a lot of times it's like, so a lot of times it was frames. So you guys know how much it costs to frame nice art. It's so expensive to frame things. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the frames were not worth saving. Uh-huh. And so, you know, like a print or something like that, that was in a frame that was in a flood or a fire, those frames are just, you know, dumpster, dumpster, dumpster. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And so I took home so many frames.
You took home dumpster art.
I took home dumpster art. I would take home dumpster
that
art.
That sounds
all
like a 23-year-old move if I've ever
heard one. I took home so much dumpster art.
You know? Used to find furniture on the streets in New York and just like be like, can we walk it up our 7 flights of stairs? Yeah, let's bring it up.
Yeah. It's like once something was in the dumpster, it was a free for all.
It was free. It was a freebie.
It was a freebie. Yeah. And so like once something got thrown in the dumpster, I was like, does it not smell enough?
Right.
Like to fire bring to bring it home. Yeah.
Yes, it does. Rainey, what is your existential crisis?
Okay. Well, I think I'm through it, knock on wood. But uh-huh. I graduated and I was like.
You graduated in 2020?
2019. Okay. So I've had 2 years, and the summer after I like watched every episode of True Blood and I just sort of like, like I was just like, I don't know, started a podcast.
What was
like,
your degree?
Like, yeah. Oh, it was in American Studies and then a minor in Film and Media. But yeah, American Studies, what is that? Does anybody know? I don't think.
Mine was like sociology and anthropology. Yeah. Like, what the fuck is that?
And so, yeah, I was like, hadn't really thought about life after college at all until mm-hmm. I remember sitting at commencement and being like, all right, like now, all right, what do I do next? And like, that was the first time that I thought about it. Which was definitely
so your school had no program of being like, no. What are you guys going to do? Do you want to talk to our career counselors? Do you want to map out like some job fair stuff?
That would have been so helpful. There was a job fair, but it was all computer science. So I remember going and being like, pretty quickly, I was like, I'm not going to get a job from this. But let me see if I can get a water bottle. And I didn't even get a water bottle. Like people were just like, you're not.
Come on.
Give us that water bottle. Yeah. Well, and to those graduating in 2019, 2020. Mm-hmm. 2021. Yeah. I graduated in 2008, and I feel like it's a similar situation where like the economy for me. Mm-hmm. The economy collapsed as I graduated college, and I was like,
this isn't good.
It's a tough situation mm-hmm. to be in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I think I just did. So I was like, yeah, I'll like wing it when I graduate. Like I'll figure something out. And that was just like very much overconfidence on my part. Like I graduated. And I
girl,
was
you
like,
gotta fake it to make it. Come on.
Yeah, I applied. I remember I applied to one job, and I was like, all right, well now we wait. And I did not get
Rainey,
that job.
You are not playing the odds.
I love that.
Yeah,
so that strategy definitely didn't work out. But I kind of was like, just like a bunch of rejections, just like, yeah, applying mm-hmm. to stuff. Like mm-hmm. it was a lot in a row. Like I think I applied to 80 jobs before I got one in part-time internship.
Wow.
So that was
80. That's 80. Nuts.
And then by the time, it's the only reason I know this is because I have like a cover letter folder on my computer mm-hmm. called SOS. And then I just counted.
Help.
Yeah, please.
Wait,
help.
And so what sorts of jobs were you applying to?
So, well, this is, so I was also just like, this was part of my existential crisis where I was like, I have no, I think I applied to like teaching jobs, like the public defender's appellate division. Mm-hmm. And then like, development, like fundraising,
basically like entry
playing
level
the
jobs,
field.
Sort of all over the place,
all over. Like the job will choose me.
Somebody give me a job.
I volunteer as tribute. Let's go.
And I was talking to a bunch of people because, like, my dad was like, "You gotta like, I don't understand why you're not talking to people." Yeah, and then I was living with my
Your
parents
dad was
too,
like, you
which
have
was
to
like
network,
hilarious.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. My dad was very much like, "You're not gonna get a job through applying to stuff online. Like, you have to talk to people." And I was like, "I don't know anybody," and. I was like, I truly have no
dad. Where did he want you to go talk to people?
Yeah. Yeah. So then I got this internship at the Colorado State Treasurer's Office, which was so hilarious. It was so awesome. I loved it. It was like Parks and Rec. It was like incredibly, the characters were so rich and so
everybody so was rich.
Like, I love so that. Funny and like whimsical, and like they were just thriving in the treasurer's office.
Colorado Treasury is lit.
I had a brief stint as a hostess, which was horrible. I was like comedically bad, the worst
like,
in America.
Like
in
I did that all through at restaurants.
Yeah.
I did that all through high school. So it is bad. Bad job.
Applied on a whim. I just had a Sunday open and I applied to NPR and I was like, I thought that there was a negative percent chance that I was going to get it. So I was just like, I'm taking this as a creative essay opportunity and just like wrote this cover letter that was
I love this insane. Glass half full.
Yeah. And now we wait.
And now we wait.
Yeah, it was truly like bananas, the cover letter. Like, and so it'll come back. So I sent it off. Then I was like, I'm not really sure if it's sent. And so I emailed the people at NPR and I was like, hey, like, I don't know if my application sent. I attached it here just in case. Didn't attach it. Forgot to attach it. But then I was like, you know what? It's over. It's fine.
It's over. It's over.
So I like, and then
I attached it here. No attachment to this email.
And then they emailed me back and they were like, yep, we got it. And I was like, they saw my email. And then like a few weeks later, I got an email from the executive producer of How I Built This being like, hey, we want to interview you. So I talked to him. I was like, I'm on the phone with NPR.
Oh my God.
And then he was like, yeah, Guy might want to talk to you. And I was like, Guy Raz? So Guy called me. And what I really remember was he was just like, yeah, so you put on your cover letter, you put, you don't like to follow rules, but like at NPR, you're going to have to follow rules. Can you speak to that? And I was like, did I write that on an entry level position cover letter? Like,
you wrote, I don't like to follow rules?
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Dear NPR, my name is Rainey.
I don't follow rules. I was like, I'm not good at school. I don't follow rules. I'm like not a conventional thinker. And they were like, you're hired. And I was like,
yes.
Wow.
I love.
How did you explain that?
I backpedaled. I don't even know. Yeah. I was like, no, I'm not. I don't know. I'm good. I will follow all your rules.
I promise.
Yeah. And so I got on the phone and I was like, I called my dad. I was like, I don't think I got it. And he was like, Rainey, if you're going to put something like that on the cover letter, you got to be ready to
answer. You got to be ready to answer for your statements.
But then an hour later, I got it. So I went to DC.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It was a miracle. I don't know what happened, honestly. But I think the universe was just like,
they probably got 1,000 cover letters that sounded the same. And they were like,
this girl's cool.
This girl. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. And living in DC was awesome. And then the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. So I came back home, finished it from home. And then by that point, I was like, okay, so reinstated existential crisis, just like we're back in it. But I was kind
of
like,
for the whole world.
Right. For the whole world.
Irregardless of age. Yeah. Everyone was like, oh no, we're back in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Really just like so much empty space. And then I also want to ask you about identity, but later. Because I feel like
we'll bring you back.
Yeah.
We'll bring you back. Because I haven't asked you all my questions either.
We never said it. Becky's out of town, y'all.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
We're the worst.
Miles reminded us.
Can you cut this to the beginning as a flashback?
Yeah.
Becky's out of town.
Oh my God.
Miles reminded us at the beginning of the episode. He said, don't forget to talk about how Becky is out of town.
And
look at us. We forgot.
We're not great at hosting a podcast.
We're just good friends who like to
talk.
We're
just good friends.
I love editing this podcast. You guys are so good at it. Don't do that. And then I sort of had narrowed it down to podcasting and public radio. And then I freelanced for Colorado Public Radio. More rejections. And then I also talked to a ton of people because my dad was like, you got a network. And then one of
dad,
those people,
dad,
my dad, dad. Was just
get off my back.
So one of the people I talked to was Will Whitwer. And here we are.
Oh, that's Will Whitwer, the great connector.
Yeah.
Will Whitwer.
Yeah. So I think that's the 2 years. But
I'll tell you, we have to wrap this up. I know. But I have a friend who interned at NPR right when we graduated college.
Oh,
and one day she got into an elevator with this man and they're riding. And he goes, so what do you do at NPR? You know, and she goes, oh, you know, I'm interning for this department. What do you do at NPR? And he goes, oh, I host a show called This American Life. And she was like, oh, what is wrong with me? She came home crying. She's like, I'm gonna get fired from NPR because Ira Glass.
But Ira Glass, like, radio personalities, you don't know what they look like.
I know you don't, but don't you know what Ira Glass looks like?
Yeah,
you Ira Glass?
You know his voice.
You
know,
I know
you
his
absolutely
voice.
Know his voice.
I truly do not know what he looks like.
I don't know
like.
What he looks like either.
Okay, I imagine that. I'm imagining like a balding man with glasses.
Yeah,
you're
I
not
think
totally
so.
Wrong.
Ira Glass?
Yeah, Ira Glass.
Anyways, that's my NPR intern story.
No, okay. Rachel just showed me Ira Glass. I mean, Silver Fox. I'm just going to say
it. Silver Fox.
I'm just going to say it. We can end on Ira Glass, Silver Fox.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Podcast extraordinaire.
Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Wedges.
Internet who can't see this, if you're listening, Google it.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening in on this week's episode. Be sure to rate us 5 stars and email our podcast email at youcansitwithuspod@gmail.com. Send us your questions.
Do another question episode sometime soon.
Yeah. We love those.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're listening to the podcast on other streaming platforms, turn on automatic downloads because it really helps the show. We will talk to you guys next week.
Bye.